In 2001, we're moving now to South Wexford in New Ross and Feathered Union, and we come to Feathered-on-Sea. And some of the aspects of the history and ecumenical relationships associated with Feathered, I've already mentioned en passant in other reflections in other appropriate years. But on that lovely journey town towards Hookhead with all the wonderful seascape, Feathered on Sea Church is indeed something of a gem in its community, a welcoming place too for many visitors. And one distinctive thing it has, which is an architectural feature rooted in medieval practice, but it's very distinctive in Feathered, and uniquely so in the diocese, is that Feathered Church has what's called a weeping chancel. So the chancel is at an angle to the rest of the church, giving, when you go in, the church a strange appearance of having almost a bend in it. And this was an ancient tradition favoured by some architects, that the sanctuary, the place of the Eucharist, the remembrance of Christ's death, should remind us of the cross and his head inclined in death on the cross. And so the shape of the church is aligned to take account of that devotional insight. And in Feathered, it's extremely striking. I turn now to 2001. And of course, one has to refer to 9/11, one of those painful hinge moments in the history of the world when one remembers where one was. I happened to be in Wales. It was before there were smartphones. I saw images in a TV shop window in Wrexham and began to realise the dimensions of what was happening. And rather like the day of the assassination of Kennedy, the documentaries and speculations and interpretations concerning 9/11 will never end. Go through the satellite channels, especially in the month of September, it seems endless. One wonders how one should at this stage remember such events and other great international calamities too well. I was recently back in New York on the site of Ground Zero, having seen it for the first time not long after the event, and more recently when the memorial had been completed. On the one hand, the positive side, the fountains where the Twin Towers stood are powerful and moving, with all the names inscribed, this is precisely where it happened. One has that powerful sense of immediacy. On the other hand, the crowds are so large, the neighbouring retail outlets have commercialised things. It is very much a must-see venue on the tourist trail. Not far away from there, and actually though it was in construction during the time of 9/11, not far away, much quieter and much more powerful to the likes of me, is the Irish Hunger Memorial, which is really a reproduction of an abandoned Irish homestead at the time of the famine, representing those who left Ireland and sought new futures out of their suffering in New York and beyond. I thought this reconstruction of an Irish homestead would be very kitsch there in Manhattan, but it's not. And it contains a wonderful sense, both as you go through the tunnel entrance to it, of voices from the Irish famine and voices from the still hungry world. And I would put it down as a must-see on a visit to New York. But of course, if it too becomes too crowded, it loses its austerity and its power. But don't see one without the other if you're ever in New York. I found the two places of memory strangely mutually interpretive, proof of that ancient Irish proverb that in each other's shadows we live. And both memorials are a reminder of the infinite value of all human lives, not just of the ones that are actually named on those memorials, but of the many nameless Irish people too, who found their way across the Atlantic during the famine, or who were lost on the way, and who are at this stage, in that poignant phrase of memory, known only to God.